all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved.
Morning, church. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of joy. We declare that the kingdom of God is here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here among you, among you. The dead rise, the blind see, the deaf hear, the lame are walking. Sorry. Let's start that song over. Y'all aren't singing very loud, or loudly, I guess. That second word is declare, so let's do it. Now that you're warmed up. Declare that the kingdom of God is here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here among you, among you. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame men are walking. Sicknesses flee at his voice. The dead live again and the poor hear the good news. Jesus is King, so rejoice. We declare that the kingdom of God is here. We declare that the kingdom of God is here among you, among you. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame men are walking. Sicknesses flee at his voice. The dead live again and the poor hear the good news. Jesus is King, so rejoice.
A little different. We've got a lot of videos we're going to show you this morning of different things that are going on in the church, and so we want you to see those this morning. We thought as we approach Thanksgiving, we have a lot of things that we're missing. In fact, some of us will gather for Thanksgiving this year, and we'll not be able to have some of our family members with us. We'll miss that fellowship together. There's a lot of things different about what we're doing right now, and we can focus on the things that we can't do or haven't been able to do, or the things that we've had to change that we would like for them to be different. But what we'd like to focus on this morning is that we need to be thankful that we've been able to continue to do things for God, that God has allowed us the opportunity to continue to serve Him and to be able to serve others. And there's a lot of things to be grateful for that we've been able to do. So this morning, for a little bit, we'd like for us to try to focus on the things that we are able to do and that we have been able to do, and thank God for that. So in Acts chapter 2, as you heard from the reading and the video, and I want to thank Wes for the great job that he did with the videos we'll be seeing this morning, and for the work that Lee did in putting together our order of worship this morning and how hard he's worked on that. And in fact, all the missions committee has been involved in this. They've all participated in putting together this service. I've had very little to do with it, so I thank all of them for that. But as we were hearing in the reading this morning from Acts chapter 2, The idea that the church, as it began, it devoted itself to the breaking of bread, to fellowship, to being together and hearing the word of God over and over from the apostles and learning what the doctrine was. And we know that they had this opportunity to do great things. They took care of the needs of the people. When the church started, you had people that came to Jerusalem from all over that part of the world to be together for the Passover. And then, of course, many stayed afterwards for the fellowships that would, the festivities that would follow afterwards. And that's when the church started. So a lot of people were a great distance from home, and they didn't want to leave. They wanted to stay and see what was going to develop with this new thing and what Jesus was about. So they stayed in the community of Jerusalem, but they were without food to eat. They didn't have shelter. They didn't know where to go. And so the church took care of each other. So I think it's important for us to focus in on the fact that the church began that way, in a time of emergency, of taking care of each other and not really knowing what all this was about. And yet they figured it out, and they were flexible from the very beginning because they had to be. And I think that's a lesson for us as well. If you look in the passage in Ephesians in chapter 1, it tells us that we are a body of Christ. And as the body of Christ, we're supposed to do what the head tells us to do. Boy, would we be in bad shape if our bodies didn't do what the head said to do. And we need to do that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 and 23 says, "And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." So we're the fulfillment of what Christ wants us to do. And we have the opportunity to serve in his mission that he started. As you move on into chapter 2, you find that there are certain things that God had in mind for us to do from the beginning. And this big plan that God had before he ever sent his son into the world, he had planned for the church to do certain things. It says in Ephesians 2:10, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." There are certain things that God wants us to do. And regardless of what we face in dealing with obstacles in this world or whatever Satan throws in our way to keep us from it, we need to do the things that God has planned for us to do. And then as you move into chapter 3, you find that we have a responsibility to do the things that will fulfill the mission of Christ. And here's a list of some of those things. And they're exactly things that we've tried to continue to do while we've been in this COVID crisis, if you want to call it that. We rejoice that we're able to do all these things. We've been able to help people in need. We've continued to preach and teach the Word of God. We've continued to be in fellowship with one another. Even though it might look different than what we have before, sometimes it's in homes, sometimes it's in different places, sometimes we're able to get back here. But even then, when we're here, we're spread out and we wear masks and so forth. So it's different, but we've continued the fellowship of the believers. And we've made a positive impact in our community with all that we've been trying to do. And we've served people in prayer. The people that have been needing us to be praying for them, we have not let down in that for a moment. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. His intent, God's intent for us, is that through the church, the manifold wisdom of God might be made known to the rulers and authorities in heavenly realms according to the purpose that he has accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. God's plan for us is that we would let his eternal purpose for Christ in the world to save people, that the church would take on that responsibility. And we have. We've been doing that. In many ways, we've continued to do that. Even though, and I believe Satan has had a hand in this, he's trying to do everything he can to slow us down. And yet, we keep doing it. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, and this is one of my favorite passages in all of God's word, it tells us that if we set our mind on doing the will of God, God will provide us what we need to accomplish it. Notice what it says. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God is able to do beyond what we can imagine that we can do. And it does not say in that, except in persecution, except when there's a plague, except when there's a famine, except when there's a war, or except when there's COVID. There's no exceptions in that. It says God is able. And because God is able, we keep doing what God has called us to do. We keep trying to get the word out to the world. Jesus saves. And we try to help people understand that. This morning, what we're going to focus on is the fact that we've kept going. And let's be thankful for what we've been able to do. And try for at least a moment to not focus on the things that we can't do, or we haven't been able to do, or we won't be able to do. But let's focus on what we can do because of the Almighty God who is more powerful than anything we face, including COVID. And while Thanksgiving may be different for some of you, be thankful for how God is still working within us. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day. It is a day of rejoicing and thanksgiving. As we prepare for a very special time in our families, and many of us would be approaching this time in sadness because of a loss of a loved one this year. Or maybe we would have sadness because maybe someone among us that would normally be there is ill or unable to be with us. We also know that as a church we face many challenges. And we've had to be flexible and we've had to do things differently. And for some of us that has brought anxiety and sadness as well. But this morning we would ask that as you're with us, as you're present with us, as your Holy Spirit encourages us this morning, may we rejoice in what we have been able to do and give thanks to you for those who still get to hear the message, who still get food on their table, who are still able to have a blessing because we as a church have had an impact in their lives. Help us to focus on the things that we have, for there are so many that we have to be thankful for. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand, if you would, please. Seeking the lost, yes, kindly entreating, wanderers on the mountain astray, come unto me, his message repeating, words of the Master speaking today. Going afar upon the mountain, bringing the wanderer back again, into the fold of my Redeemer, Jesus the Lamb for sinners slain, for sinners slain. Seeking the lost and pointing to Jesus, souls that are weak and hearts that are sore, leading them forth in ways of salvation, showing the path to life evermore. Going afar upon the mountain, bringing the wanderer back again, into the fold of my Redeemer, Jesus the Lamb for sinners slain, thus I would go on missions of mercy, following Christ from day unto day, cheering the faint and raising the fallen, pointing the lost to Jesus the way. Going afar upon the mountain, bringing the wanderer back again, into the fold of my Redeemer. Jesus, the Lamb for sinners slain. Be seated, please.
Then these righteous ones will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked and give you clothing? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will say, I tell you the truth, when you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you were doing it to me.
Carry each other's burdens. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Love one another. Above yourselves, never be lacking in zeal. But keep your spiritual fervor. Keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord.
Be devout
to one another in brotherly love.
Basic needs in some of the community service we do are activities and service that we probably don't recognize the impact. Unless you've been there, unless you've seen that closely, you don't know how much people appreciate that. Let's pray for the work and the ability to serve. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Especially, Father, we thank you for the blessings that you give us. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to serve others in this community. Thank you for the people that volunteer their time and their resources to support the work of basic needs and the food pantry and other things that we do, passing out casseroles or whatever that might be. Thank you for the opportunity to serve. Help us to continue to remember those in our neighborhoods and community that are less privileged and are struggling with some of the things going on right now. Help us to reach out to them. Help us to
not only provide food, but provide services in terms of spiritual needs and the counseling that they may need and other things that, like that. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity, and thank you for the bless those that do this work. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep o'er the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful. Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings lie buried that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, waked by unkindness, chords that were broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Rescue the perishing, duty demands it, strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them, tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
For the Word of God is alive and active and powerful. It is sharper than any double-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true, and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. Dear Graham Street Church of Christ, I received the Bible you sent me. I thank you very much for it. It's one of the nicest ones I've ever had, and it's really appreciated. My alcoholism has brought me back to rock bottom again and again. I lost my family 12 years ago. I've been estranged from my 3 children for 7 years, and my life is in shambles like I never could have imagined. Now, this Bible you gifted me with is the only thing I own. Hence, my letter of gratitude is the least I can do. I am reading it, as well as sending for the study courses.
What you are doing for us is such an inspiration, and the Bibles are beautiful. I pray this letter finds you in good spirits, and the God we serve continues to bless your ministry, family, and friends. Please pray for me in my time of struggle, and I will pray for blessing for you for the kindness you share. God bless, and goodbye for now.
Thank you so much for taking the time to read my words. I'm so sorry that I let society down again. And I apologize 1,000 times, church. Please believe me, these errors will not define me. And maybe one day I can share my story with everyone. I had an experience that I need people to hear. It's not sad at all. It's powerful. It's all Jesus. Glory to
Him. You know, it amazes me how you didn't know what I've been dealing with this week. But God, for whatever reason, led you to send me the scripture, Psalm 139:14. This has been an overwhelming week for me. I found out I have COVID-19 on top of my other chronic health issues at the age of 26. As I sit here in prison doing my Bible studies, I realize I'm broken due to family and my past. I don't want history to repeat itself. I find myself sad, lonely, and depressed. I know to turn to God, but then what? I was so close to giving up, but Psalm 139 made me think that I am enough. So I just want to thank you. Know that you make a difference. God bless you.
Bear with me. My life is one of those letters, folks. For those of you that don't know, in 2005, I was sentenced to 7 years in Texas Department of Criminal Justice. And I was in the Word and basically took a wrong path. And when I got to my unit of assignment, we had a Church of Christ on Sunday mornings, and Brother Brad got up and said, "Hey, anybody that's interested in studying the Bible, no matter how much you know, there's a set of lessons that comes out of Corpus Christi that's been written for people to get to know the Lord better, or maybe help him find his path." And so I signed up with the Lakewood Church of Christ, and Cynthia studied with me. And we became study partners, and she would send letters back and forth, and it meant a lot. It meant a lot. And so I made it all through, all 13 units, all 13, there's 13 lessons in every unit. So I did 169 Bible lessons with Cynthia and the people at Lakewood Church of Christ. And I've got all those certificates still. Been out for 8 years, but they still mean something to me. And so I totally relate whenever they talk about the difference that it's made, and that mess that I made, God can take and make it a message for the glory of God. The tests that I have overcome are testimonies that other people can see and we can do. And when people write to us, you know, they'll say, "Hey, I've got a friend. Mom does this." And there'll be like 26 people, because they'll hear about this and they'll say, "Hey, could you send my friends these? This is their address." And so it just grows and grows. And we usually send them a Bible. These Bibles cost about $5 a piece, okay? And then to send them is $3.33, right? And then they get a packet that has the first set of lessons. And those are like $2 for us to mail. So we can get the Word in their hands and study with a $10 start. But the thing, and the interesting thing is, at the end of last year, we were doing about $250 a month. Folks, during 2020, if you want to say it's a bad year, it must be a bad year for Satan, because right now it's looking at $1,200 a month that is being spent on postage to get the Word of God to other people. And that wasn't something we planned for. It's been amazing how that the elders and the finance committees have managed to keep it going. It's a wonderful, wonderful ministry, as I said. And it's life-changing. I wish you could see how much it's affected my mom. She went through this with me, but now she is helping other people because of where we've been and how she can... help others. And it's beautiful. And she works and works and works diligently on this, but there's room for always one more person to take one more lesson, or somebody to help contribute, so that this ministry can keep going and keep going. They may leave a unit in Arkansas and get transferred to Alabama, and suddenly we have 10 more people in a completely different state that are wanting to hear about the Word of God and the things that Graham Street Church of Christ is doing. And I thank you for that, and I pray your continued blessings and prayers on that. Thank you.
So far, we've been able to fund this ministry through the mission committee budget and rearranging some of the money that we have in the budget. And then there's been some special contributions in relation to that. If you would like to help support the ministry in an extra special way, please make a checkout and just put prison ministry on it, and that will be applied towards it. Jesus talked about a mustard seed, and if you have the faith of a mustard seed, how much it can grow and what it can do. And I'd like to give you for just a minute the background to really how all of this came about. Over 10 years ago, one of our members here was dissatisfied with AA. Joel Kitchens had been going to AA for a number of years, but it didn't have a spiritual component to it. And so he wondered for some time and talked with us about, you know, what else could be done for a 12-step recovery program that would include God. And none of us had any idea. But we had a seminar several years ago, a weekend seminar with Galen Van Reenen, who was a missionary and taught missions. It was not well attended. Galen was sick the whole time. But in the course of that, he talked about what some congregations are doing for local outreach. And he mentioned this program called Celebrate Recovery. None of us had ever heard of it, but we looked into it and started Celebrate Recovery here in this congregation. Celebrate Recovery rocked on along on Monday nights for several years, the attendance going up and down. But then one day we got a call from a gentleman in Granbury, and he was coming down here on Wednesday nights doing Celebrate Recovery in the local jail, and he needed some assistance. So we went over there and worked with him for a while. And then he said, you know, I want to do this in Granbury. I need somebody to take over it and take the mantle here in Stephenville. And this congregation took up the mantle on Wednesday nights for the men. Various people did it. Ben Copeland ended up, was the last one to do it until COVID. Well, we were doing it for the men. There was nothing for the women like that. And so we got permission from the jail to start Celebrate Recovery for the women. And that rocked along for a while with various people, women going in and doing it. And then after a while, it ended up with Jan Aldifer. And Jan started going into the jail on Friday nights. At first, they were working the Celebrate Recovery material, but she also wanted to do other things with them. And so Jan is on the mission committee, and we had talked about in the past this new life behavior curriculum. So Jan started using that curriculum with the ladies in the jail on Friday night, just the local jail. Well, some of these women get transferred out to the state facilities, and before long, she starts getting requests from various places, various jails around the state. And that's what blossomed into the map you've seen today, where in several states, and in about 20 or 30 of the facilities here in Texas, hundreds of people are doing the new life behavior courses. And it all goes back to that mustard seed. There was one other mustard seed that was planted, because we have to buy these Bibles. There was a gentleman by the name of Glenn Moody who attended here some, and Glenn passed away. He left in his will, I think if I remember right, it was about $10,000 or so for Bibles. That was the seed money for the Bibles that we buy and give out locally, but also send out into the jails all over the several states here. And it's all because of Glenn, even though he's passed on, you see what that seed that he planted continues to bear. And now that's the children's contribution, and some other people contribute to it as well. So as David mentioned, 2020 has been a bad year. We don't know what the future holds, but we know who holds the future. But we do not know what the seeds that we plant today, the lesson that some of these people are sending out to someone, the food that is given out to someone, there is just no way of knowing what the fruit it is going to bear in the years to come. And so we have a lot to be grateful for, and we are so appreciative and thankful for all of you in the congregation that are working in these ministries, that are supporting them financially, and who are praying for them as well. And if you would, join me in prayer at this time. Our merciful, gracious, and loving Father, we are so thankful for the mercy, love, and forgiveness that you have given us. And God, we recognize that we have the privilege, and in fact, we have the responsibility of sharing the good news of that grace and forgiveness with others. We're thankful, God, that even in the midst of the troubles of this year, that your work continues to go on, that the good news of your love and mercy in your Son, Jesus Christ, is able to be shared with people who are locked away, people who are in their homes. Even in a time when we cannot get together as much as we'd like to, we're grateful that your word penetrates all of the barriers that are there. We pray, God, for these ministries. We pray that the Bibles, the lessons, might continue to be passed out, shared, and that the knowledge of your love and your mercy will flourish in these prisons and in the hearts of these people as they work these courses, as they study your word. God, we're thankful for the freedom that we have, and we realize that that freedom is available only through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
To the work, we are servants of God. Let us follow the path that our Master has trod. With the balm of his counsel, our strength to renew, let us do with our might what our hands find to do. Toiling on, let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the work, let the hungry be fed. To the fountain of life, let the weary be led. In the cross and its banner, our glory shall be, while we herald the tidings, salvation is free. Toiling on, let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes. To the work, there is labor for all, for the kingdom of darkness and error shall fall. And the fame of Jehovah exalted shall be in the loud swelling chorus, salvation is free. Toiling on, let us hope, let us watch, and labor till the Master comes.
All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and preaching this message: Jesus is the Messiah.
I am kneeling before the Father, from whom the earthly family derives its name.
Jesus' name, I am praying for his power. Through his spirit in our inner being, we live by faith. His love.
One of my get-by songs whenever I was in prison was this one. Whenever I'd go walking, whenever I'd kind of feel down or whatever, and I wanted to be sure to insert it in here. And this is a tough song from a song leader's perspective because it's really got two, it really needs two leaders. And there are times in ministry whenever just I can't do it, that sometimes I've got to find a partner in ministry, somebody to help me to do whatever needs to get done. And no, I know it's a little unconventional in what we call the worship service to have two song leaders. At times we do need two leaders to step up and partner and do things. And this guy, Kyle Day, has been my get-by guy. Whenever we do casseroles, whenever we do whatever, I say, hey, can you? And he's like, yeah, it's done. And so I said, hey, how would you feel about singing with me? We do singing class all the time on Wednesday nights, and Kyle has been the go-to guy for this. And so we're going to lead You Are My All in All together. We sing the verses together, and then it usually splits when we get to the Jesus, Lamb of God. Ladies, you'll follow me, and guys, you'll follow Kyle. Got it? Appreciate you. Ready?
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel. Lord, to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Down, you pick me up. When I live up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus,
taking my sin, my cross, my
Lamb
shame, rising
of
again,
God,
I bless your
worthy
name. You are my all
is
in
name.
All.
Jesus,
when I fall down, you pick me up.
Lamb
when I am
God,
dry, you fill my cup.
Worthy
you are my all.
As you can see from some of the things that we've presented this morning, the church has continued to be the church. We've continued to do the things that we've been called to do. And there are probably many more things we could have dealt with this morning. One of the things that we've continued to do is also do communion together. And it's a little odd, really, when you think about it. The little package with the top parts, you've got a wafer in there and you've got some juice in it. And in some ways, it's probably been hard for us to focus our minds on what it's really about because it's different from what we normally do. But I want you to understand that regardless of how we do it right now, it's the meaning behind it that really counts. I'm sure in the cultures, the various cultures around the world that started doing this back in the beginning of the church, I'm sure there were some strange ways of doing communion. It's interesting that in the Bible, it never tells us exactly how to do it. It tells us these elements, if you want to call it that, the elements of the communion, of the bread and the juice that represent the body and the blood of Jesus. But how do you do it? I mean, you know, do you, and some people say, well, you need to do it exactly the way that Jesus did it in the Last Supper. Well, that's kind of hard to figure out too, because when you read the different accounts, there were a lot more things going on than just what Jesus did in this commemorative meal. They had a regular meal together, and they didn't sit at a table, they reclined at a table. Are we supposed to do that? There was some washing of feet, you know. Are we supposed to do that? So even in the idea that we do it the way Jesus did it, we don't know exactly how he did it, and he never commanded exactly how we do it. It's good to know that our brothers and sisters over in Zimbabwe are taking communion on the first day of the week also. And our brothers and sisters in China and in Russia and in South America. And it's something that we share. Sometime when you have a little bit of time for Bible study to go a little off the beaten path, look at how often in the ministry of Jesus he eats with people. That having a meal with people is a part of his ministry. There's the feeding of the 5,000. There's the feeding of the 4,000. It's not just the Last Supper. Look at how many times it mentions in the 40 days after the resurrection of Jesus how often he ate with people and how important that was for his ministry. For them to really understand that he truly died and that he was truly alive, one of the things that he did was to eat with them. I think one of the reasons why God chose and why Jesus chose for us to have this meal as part of what we do is to make it real. There's probably nothing in our lives that's more real to us than the need to eat. And the fact that we take the common elements of food into our perspective about believing in Jesus. And I think in the world that we live in right now, we really need to make it real. That church is not about being religious. It's not about the ceremony. It's not about rituals. That many of the things that have been our traditions, they've been disrupted because of what we've been going through. And we're really being called to make it real. Make it real. Make it real where you are, where you live now, how you're doing what you're doing in your life. Make Jesus real in your life. So this morning as we take communion, let's not be distracted by the plastic cup filled with juice with a wafer stuck on top. The bread still means what the bread means, and the cup still means what the cup means. And it's important to us to not let ourselves get distracted by how it might disrupt our traditions. We meet not in one service, but in two. We sit all spread out. And for some of you, that may not be that different than what you usually do, but for some of us, it's kind of strange. And we have so many different things that we think about that are challenging to us. But it doesn't change that Jesus is real. He had a real body, flesh and blood, just like yours. And he was God who became flesh for us. And he shed real blood, just like you shed real blood when you bleed. There wasn't anything phony about it. It wasn't a trick. It was real. And God did that to help us to remember, no matter what we face, no matter what we're going through, no matter how tough life gets, this is real. And one of the things that we do to remind us that it's real is we take that which represents the body of Christ and we put it into our body. And we take that which represents the blood of Jesus and we put it in our body to mingle with our blood. That's real. That's as real as it gets. And that's so that we will leave here and remember that no matter what we face, Jesus is real. He is still Lord. He is still Savior. He is still God. So I want you to remember that as you take this morning. We have a lot to be thankful for. And right at the top of the list is what Jesus did for us. And that's why we do what we do. Lee.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Into the river I will wade. There my sins are washed away. From the heaven's mercy stream of the Savior's love for me, I will rise from waters deep into the saving arms of God. I will sing salvation song. Jesus Christ has set me free. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again. Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Lamb that was slain. Hosanna, Hosanna, Jesus died and rose again.
Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful. As we've seen this morning, that your hand is at work in this church. And we're thankful for the work that goes on here. We're thankful for the love that was shown to us. We're thankful for your great love for each one of us. We're thankful that you desire a relationship with us and that you want us to be with you in heaven one day. And we're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for that sacrifice that was made, that his body was hung on the cross for our sins. Take our minds back to that time. Help us to remember all that you've done for us and you continue to do for us. We ask this through Christ. Amen. Let's pray again. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Jesus and for that sacrifice that was made. We're thankful for the love that was shown to us, that he allowed himself to be hung on the cross, to shed his blood. We're thankful that he was that sacrificial lamb, and we're thankful for his death, his burial, and most of all his resurrection, that he overcame death, that gives us the opportunity to overcome death too. We ask this through Christ. Amen.
There's a message true and glad for the sinful and the sad. Ring it out, ring it out. It will give them courage new. It will help them to be true. Ring it out, ring it out. Ring out the word o'er land and sea. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin and doubt. Ring out the words that makes men free. To all the lost of every nation, ring it out. Tell the world of saving grace, make it known in every place. Ring it out, ring it out. Help the needy ones to know him from whom all blessings flow. Ring it out, ring it out. Ring out the word o'er land and sea. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin and doubt. Ring out the news that makes men free. To all the lost of every nation, ring it out. Sin and doubt to sweep away till shall dawn the better day. Ring it out, ring it out. Till the sinful world be won for Jehovah's mighty Son. Ring it out, ring it out. Ring out the word o'er land and sea. Still far from Jesus, many live in sin and doubt. Ring out the news that makes men free. To all the lost of heaven,
nation, ring it out.
It's good to see everyone here this morning. If you're a visitor, I'd like to welcome you back. Come back and be with us again. You have the opportunity. We're going through difficult times, perilous times. I don't have to tell you all that. There's a lot of discomfort, unsurety, what's going on and the path we're going down. A lot of anxiety, what the future holds. At times like these, it's best to listen to the words of the Master. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Let's pray this morning. Father, I want to thank you for this opportunity that you've given each of us to assemble for this worship service this morning. We pray that each person here today has been uplifted and encouraged as we praise you, the one and only true God, the one is over all, the one is through all, the one is in all. Father, we pray for our nation, that our leaders would turn their paths to you, that you would lead them in that way, Father, and direct their paths. We pray for our men and women in the service. Pray for our law enforcement officers, for our first responders, all those that are in harm's way, that separate us from evil, Father. We pray for peace throughout the land. Father, we pray for those that are hurting, those that are broken this morning. We pray for those that are suffering from COVID. We pray that you would heal those that are sick, that you would calm those that are living in fear, that you would comfort those that have lost loved ones. We pray that you'd be the doctors, the nurses, the caregivers who are on the front line, even though they may be tired and discouraged, they continue to be in the fight. We pray for those who are working on a vaccine, a cure for the COVID virus. We pray that will come quickly, Lord, if it be your will. Father, we know many times we fail you. Forgive us when we fall short. Help us forgive ourselves. Forgive those who have sinned against us, Father, as we forgive them. Father, thank you for your church. Thank you for your body that meets here in your service. Pray they will continue to be strengthened. We pray for the Holy Spirit to guide us to do your will and to serve your purpose, that we would live a life that would please you, that we would be the light in this world, that when people see us, they would know that we belong to you. Father, we pray that you be with those who may be traveling this week to be the loved ones. We pray that you bless those family gatherings, but also, Father, we think about this time all those that can't be with their loved ones, all those that are apart, all those that are in isolation. Pray that you would comfort them, Father, and comfort their families. Thank you for each person that's here this morning. Thank you for your mercy and grace, Father. As we leave here, I ask that each one of us remember that we are the church. As we go out into the world, Father, help us be the church. All these things we ask in Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Not that you didn't hear my voice enough in the videos today, but I didn't get to say this earlier, so good morning, church family. There are a couple of things we want to remind you about. This evening at 5, we will still have the adult class meeting here, but because of the holiday and a lot of people being gone and having other things going on, the family Bible class and the youth group Bible class will not meet tonight at 5, but adult class will still be in here at 5. We do encourage anybody who wants to, at 6 o'clock, the community Thanksgiving service will be happening at First Baptist Church. Wayne Hancock, the preacher over at Cross Timber Church of Christ, is going to be delivering the message tonight. So if that's something you guys want to do and be a part of, we encourage you to. Also, don't forget, as you saw, there are lots of ministries that are very active here at Graham Street, and we'd love for you guys to get involved with those things. If you ever have questions about that, contact the church office, contact one of the elders, one of the ministers. We'd love to get you guys even more plugged into the ministries we have here. And the things we get to do this week, we get to be grateful, thankful, and live in a life that's full of gratitude. And I hope you guys get to go out this week and to share that love and mercy and grace that God has shown to us each and every day. Thank you for being here this morning.